Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue our thoughts today. How should we then live? Let me remind you, as we look at our freedoms and liberties that we have, God gave them to us. They're gifts from God, codified in our Constitution. And so we need to take a stand on those issues that we know to be right for us. Multitudes of Christians, however, have become what I call pacifist. They just simply are willing to sit in silence, believe that God will have us to do nothing, that we just simply sit in silence. And that somehow, some way, civil government has the final authority. Ladies and gentlemen, civil government does not have the final authority in the life or living of any Christian around the globe. May I remind us, we must remember that God gave us civil government. God gave us civil government for a purpose, and that is to prosecute evil and to protect good. And when we see that going contrary-wise, we need to take a stand. And ladies and gentlemen, the rights and the freedoms that we have today, the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom of self-defense, the right to keep and bear arms, all of those are liberties that God's given us that's codified in our Constitution. You say, how about the right of self-defense, the right to keep and bear arms? Ladies and gentlemen, I've written the book on that subject, the biblical doctrine of self-defense. It is in the Word of God that God gave us that right to bear arms. You look at the little book of Esther, you find where a decree had been sent out by the king that all the Jews would be put to death on a certain date. And then when it was discovered that the king had been tricked into signing that decree, he signed a new decree. It was sent out to 128 different provinces of that day. And the decree was that when they come to kill you, rise up and kill them first. Self-defense. Jesus told his disciples, if you got two garments, sell one and buy a sword. Why? Self-defense. And I can go throughout the scripture and validate that, ladies and gentlemen. But today we have the biblical principle as indicated throughout the Word of God that when obedience to government means disobedience to God, that we're to take a stand. For example, Daniel, the 6th chapter. And I'll not take time to go to it, but let me just reference it for you. Daniel, the 6th chapter, the government had set a decree that no one could pray to any god except the king for 30 days. Daniel knew it. He knew the decree had been signed. He knew that it was death if it were disobeyed. What did Daniel do? Daniel, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, went back to his home with the windows being open toward Jerusalem, and he bowed and prayed 3 times a day as he had before times. He was not going to obey the government edict that would be antithetical to what God had told him to do and what he wanted to do in relationship to his love for God. You look at the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, again in Daniel, the 3 young Jewish men were ordered to bow, that's the 3rd chapter of Daniel, ordered to bow before a false god. They refused to do so. They didn't bow when being chided by the king, coerced by the king. They still refused to bend. And as a result of that, they were thrown in the fiery furnace. But according to the scripture, they didn't burn. Why is that so? Because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, was in the fire with them. They took a stand and were protected as a result of it. The government said, don't pray. They prayed. Then you find after the Jews commanded the apostles the ones after Jesus had already said to the apostles that you need to go out and preach the gospel everywhere. The political leaders of that day said that you cannot do it, Matthew 28:19-20. The Jewish government authorities arrested some of the Christians, the apostles that are going out, and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, Acts 4:18. But then Peter and John answered, quote, we cannot but speak what we have heard and seen, Acts 4:20. And then ultimately, Peter in Acts 5:29 said, we ought to obey God and not government. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, how should we then live? A direct quote from Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 10. How should we then live? How should Christians, conservatives, and patriots live today inside of what we see taking place in our world? Should we obey every edict? Should we obey every fiat demand of government? Should we obey those things that are called executive orders, where Biden has already signed some 82 of them? Tony Perkins says that over 60% of those are antithetical to and against faith, family, and the freedom in America. How should we respond to that? I believe some would think we need to just listen and be obedient, be good little children and say, yes, government, we're going to obey you regardless of whether or not it counters your word. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes.
Good yes. Morning. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, Pastor Youngblood.
Thank you for calling.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. God bless you for what you're doing. Continue to sound the alarm as you have been doing. You're doing just what you, God expects us, or Father God expects you to be doing at this time. And it's pathetic to see where America, this great country, where it has reached. But I remember hearing long ago, before I migrated to the United States, hearing that the communist bloc, or the communist world, was not going to use war to get America, but they would wait patiently until the day when America would fall like a ripe apple into the hands of communism, and it would appear as if the time has come. It is. Yet, as we are here today, we don't know the future. We know our God is, and if based on his appointed time, we know he has an appointed time, hallelujah, and believers are listening up for the trumpet sound when
Amen.
He comes to deliver his children. But depend on his appointed time. He did give us in 2016, he intervened and gave us grace, showed grace by raising up a leader. And we were careless with it. Conservatives are not aware of the importance of uniting and standing together. If they did that, if we made use of it, we wouldn't be where we are now. God gave
Absolutely.
Us grace, raised up a leader, but we fight against it and pull what was happening under his administration is clear with the splintering that we see take place. The greed, can't wait, you know, people just want to get into power, have power, and so on. Wait patiently on the Lord, if God, whatever God has planned. But no, they splinter up and divide, so that's a danger. That's the biggest danger now that we're fighting to probably see if we can rescue the country out of where it's going. I'm thinking, we're dealing with people who believe in lawlessness and indiscipline, break down law and order. That's exactly what they do in every country in order to take over. They divide up the people so that result in chaos and confusion and lawlessness and hatred, get the people fighting up against one another.
And Lily, you're exactly right with that point, because most people are not aware of the fact that
yes.
the three major elements of Karl Marx's point in Marxism, which
yes.
is socialism and communism, is exactly what it points to, but it was
That's
to
right.
divide the people. And then to ultimately destroy the economy and to dethrone God. That's the three
That's
major
right.
elements
That's
of
right.
it. And so, Lily, as you said, we need to just simply keep on looking up, lifting up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh.
Yes.
Lily, we have
yes,
several others on the line holding, so I'm going to go ahead. Thank you so much for your call today, though. Fred,
one
I believe you're next
one
online.
More
go
comment,
ahead.
Doctor,
okay, go ahead.
One
go
more
ahead
comment.
Quickly. Go ahead quickly. All right, we'll take
Hello?
Fred next. Fred,
Brother
do you
Youngblood?
Have any questions or comment? Yes, sir.
Brother Youngblood, nice to hear your voice. I always listen to your show. I really appreciate it. My question is the following. Jesus is Lord. He is in charge of everything, and we trust in him. Jesus is God. Obviously, he's on the throne, and in Revelation, it's very clear that he is the Almighty. Jesus is the Almighty God.
Yes.
So he will return to rule and reign. So my point of view is, as things get worse, I believe that is something happy for us because that means Jesus' return is sooner, and he's going to reign from Jerusalem. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. In fact, let's break that down for just a moment. From the spiritual standpoint, the spiritual man, that is the inner man, me, my relationship to God, I am rejoicing because, in fact, I tell people all the time, as I see these things taking place, I am rejoicing because the prophetic scripture is leaping right off the pages and becoming headline news in the national news, newspaper, newsprint, and television. But at the same time, from the human standpoint, it is bothersome to realize that we're living in a society where it's getting worse and worse because that those difficult, dark, perilous days will affect me and you, any Christian, any non-Christian. It affects all of us uniformly, where we are placed in a position of being hurt, harmed, and in today's case, where we're having this COVID-19 jab forced upon us, where people are dying as a result of the force by the government. I'm saddened by that. I'm heartbroken by that. But at the same time, we understand that it's going to get much worse before the rapture of the church takes place. So you're absolutely right. And I pray that you will keep on seeing that and keep on looking up, lifting up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh, Luke 21:28 tells us. So, Fred, you're exactly right, brother. Thank you so much for your call and for
Thank
your
you,
insight.
Brother Youngblood. Thank you for Thank keep you. On preaching Jesus. Thank you, sir.
Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I believe we have Brother Davis on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Fred, I pray that you are.
Yes, sir. Very blessed. Very blessed. I think the church really needs to get more concerned, Dr. Youngblood, about the welfare of not only our lives now, but we have a future generation coming up in our children and grandchildren.
Yes.
That really they're going to really go through something. I mean, right now, what we are going through is not really a drop in the bucket, you know, compared to what's coming down the pipe. So what we need to do as Christians is to, like the word tells us to do, put on the whole armor of God. Let's be ready, you know, at all times to fight for what we know is right. We can't just stand around and be, you know, like a sacrificial lamb because, you know, those type of people that don't want to fight, I mean, they will eat your sandwich. You know, if you just lay down and just let them do what they want to do, they will continue to run you and just to make a mockery out of your life. But when we look at what the scriptures say, and I'm just going to say this in short, now, I was reading through the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2 this morning, and when I got to verse number 26, it said, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." This is what's happening on today. I don't think the church people are really recognizing the agenda of this administration that's functioning now, that's in power. And if we don't hurry up and come to some kind of knowledge of what's going on, then that's what's going to happen to us. We're going to be taken captive by them. And not only that, we need to realize that Satan is behind it all. But if we stand on the word of God, God is going to give us the victory. We'll come out victorious each and every
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Ephesians 6 and verses 12 and following, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. We're talking about a demonic delusion that has captivated the whole world, and as a result of that, multitudes, even as a child of God, Christians, have been brought into the scope of that, delusion, believing that somehow, some way, these things are okay. Just as some say, well, a Christian, well, it's okay to take the vaccination because if Jesus were in the world today, he would take the vaccination himself. That's the big demonic lie perpetrated
Amen.
Upon us, causing a lot of people to believe it. So you're exactly right.
Amen.
We need not be captured in that delusion. But Brother Davis, thank you so much for your comments, for your call, and keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen,
Thanks
we're
so
talking
much.
About today, how should we then live? I believe we have Sean on the line. Go over the question or comment, please. Sean, go ahead. I believe we lost Sean. Sean, if you're there, call back. We'd be glad to talk with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about that delusion that is taking place today. And right now, the question must be asked and demands to be answered. Should we allow the chemical jab called COVID-19 vaccination, should we allow that to be put in our body? Is that something that should be done if it's against our will? If you say my religious Christian conscience will not allow me to do so, should you be allowed to take that stand? And my answer is absolutely unequivocally yes. But Biden now is trying to add to what he has said in his mandate. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, very carefully to this statement that you need to understand. Joe Biden has not given us a written presidential order. There's not been a order given by the governmental office coming through Joe Biden, i.e. there's not been the demand given, because when that is done, when it's an edict given by the president, it is usually put in written form, and then it is signed, and then it's passed on to the administration's departments to be enforced. He's never done that. Nothing has been written. There's not been a presidential edict given. It's just simply his stating it on the microphone for the world to pick up, and governmental authorities as well as private businesses have simply latched onto that, saying now we need to obey it because Biden spoke it. Biden is not the final authority. Our Constitution is, our Bill of Rights are, and we need to take a stand on what is called the letter of the law. We need to take a stand on what we refer to today as law and order and under our Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I'm looking at an article here where one governor says this: governor takes over the state's private businesses and mandates a vaccination for
all.
Thank you. The governor of Washington has begun a process that could result in a statewide mandate for all workers to accept the experimental COVID-19 shot in order to be able to get a paycheck. Across America already, universities, schools, and hospitals have COVID-19 vaccination mandates, even though an experimental treatment, those actions remain under the court challenge in many cases. President Biden also has ordered, it's not a presidential edict now, but it's an order, that vaccinations for federal workers and military and that companies are more than 100. Now, Governor Jay Inslee in Washington has moved the agenda even further. Inslee, the governor of Washington State, he has given an order to the Labor Department and industries, has proposed an emergency package of rules addressing the emergency powers given Inslee by to respond to COVID-19. Listen, this package, which is extensive of current mandates, grants Inslee the ability to enforce COVID-19 vaccination mandates on all private businesses in the state of Washington, according to elected officials in that state. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an overreach. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're faced with today is what I call criminal gangs masquerading as government, and they should not be entitled to have any Christian, any conservative, or any patriot to obey it. Today, the Biden administration does not follow the rule of law. They do not follow the Constitution, and our Declaration of Independence gives us some 33 charges that had been made against King George III, and for that, most part, applies today. I believe we have a call on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Hello? Dr. Youngblood. Good afternoon.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I know how we should live. We should live by every word that proceeds from God. That's what
Amen.
Jesus told us to do.
Right, brother.
And this COVID thing, I'm going to be honest with you, that is an insidious disease. I had just returned to work today from this disease. I was not vaccinated, nor would I ever have gotten vaccinated. But now, God has fearfully and wonderfully made each and every one of us, and I'm immune, brother.
Amen. In fact, your immunity as mine, because I've gone through the same thing, brother, your immunity as is mine is 27 times more than the immunity given by the COVID shot. In fact, in the state of Vermont, 88% of the citizens have been vaccinated, and 72% of those going to the hospital have already been vaccinated. They're going to the hospital for COVID. So it's proof positive that the vaccination is fake, false, phony, and it is harming, debilitating, and killing more people today than is being reported by various response system that is now being covered up and, I believe, simply lied about in relationship to what CDC should be telling us. I believe the last number was something like 750,000 have been injured by and harmed and are totally debilitated by the vaccination, and some 63 to 65,000 have died because of the vaccination, and yet we're supposed to openly, as Christians and as conservatives and patriots, say, here's my arm, roll up my sleeve, and jab me? No, I'm totally against it. And as you said, it is a deadly pathogen. It ought to be recognized as that. It was created to kill. It's doing what it was created to do. St. Anthony Fauci is the one that's the promulgator of that. It was done in cooperation with the Chinese Communist Party in the Wuhan, China lab. And two Chinese scientists in that lab had, before it was released, had already gotten patents on that pathogen. And Anthony Fauci, St. Fauci, he and his cohorts that were involved in that plan and the preparation of that had already started getting patents since 1999 as they searched for it. And right now, the thing that is so sad, Biden has already allocated $125 million to search for, quote, 10,000 new variants of COVID-19. I think we're nuts, and from the standpoint of the what is happening in the Oval Office in Washington. And it's a deadly pathogen, and it is something that is dark and dangerous, and we need to recognize it. Brother, I am so thankful for your call and for your stand. Keep on looking up. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
I have a question for you. You know, as you discuss what China is up to and some of the chaos, I'm kind of wondering what your position is on China in the scripture, and, you know, where we might see China in the scripture, now or in an eschatological sense, end times prophetic sense. Do you see China as a prevalent player? Do you see them as a, and how might that play out? You know, we've seen complete chaos erupt ever since Trump decided to take on China. As soon as literally you kind of saw the storm brewing, and then when Trump literally responded to the trade war that China's had going on for a long time, all of a sudden all you know what broke loose.
To answer your question succinctly, Revelation chapter 9, you find China has a 200 million man army, and they will rise up in the latter days of the tribulation days when the Antichrist is on the march, Daniel chapter 11, about verse 38 and following, and rattlings and rumors will come out of the east, that is the far east, talking about China, and that's the only thing that the military powers of China will frighten the Antichrist. It will not defeat the Antichrist. There will be a major battle as a result of that, but the Chinese military, according to the Revelation chapter 9, will have a 200 million man army. Ladies and gentlemen, and Greg, I want you to understand that back in 1965 or 69, if my mind is correct in my memory, in Reader's Digest, the Chinese military were bragging then that they had accumulated a 200 million man army. And right today, China is weaponizing their military men with artificial intelligence being embedded in the brain of the Chinese soldiers so that they will have no fear and will experience no pain as they go forth in battle. They are angry, they are armed, they are raging, they are ready and anxious for a battle, and they will be a major player along with Russia in the final days of the tribulation in the eschatological prophetic text of the Word of God. You're exactly right.
It's interesting to note, you know, we discussed the other day a little bit about the article, the 30 Tyrants, and, you know, a lot of discussion is made of China and how, you know, that it seems like the left in America would like to have a totalitarian system much like China. You know, they hope to wield power in the same way that Xi does, or however you pronounce him, over in China. They don't care that it would mean the destruction of the United States and all the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy. But you kind of wonder how that got to be the way it is today and how the tentacles of China reach so far in China, in America. I mean, I just, in the midst of that article, saw the dots connected to even Mad Dog Mattis, you know, General Mattis, that we all thought, you know, this is the guy that'll finally have a focus on military that we really need. Even he has been corrupted. As soon as Trump made the strong stand against China, Mattis, you know, tucked tail and ran and condemned Trump. Well, if you look back on that, you'll find that Mattis has tentacles either into him or from him into China, and he did not like Trump's position on China. But academically, one little bitty paragraph, I'll read a little bit of this. It says the billions that China gave to major American research universities, like $58 million to Sanford, alarmed U.S. law enforcement, which warned of Chinese counterintelligence efforts to steal sensitive research. We know they've been doing that for decades.
Yes.
But the schools and their named faculty were, in fact, in the business of selling that research, much of it paid for directly by the U.S. government, which is why Harvard and Yale, among other big-name schools, appear to have systematically underreported the large amounts that China has gifted them. You kind of wonder, you know, if we exposed all of the dollars, all of the flows of money into our academic institutions, what would we discover? Have we been sold out? Have we been sold out by academia, much of which, over 90% in your colleges and universities, are leftist Democrats that are teaching these schools and administrating within these schools?
Yes. In fact, every one of our college and universities, state-operated, state-funded college and universities, are basically controlled by the funds coming out of China, of all places. And they have Chinese departments of study in all of these universities. They've received millions and millions of dollars. But it's not just the academic institutions and the professors thereof. Our entire political network, including the one that's the – what is his name? That's the head of the Senate in the United States of America. He's married to a Chinese lady. The Chinese lady's
the former head, Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell. McConnell.
He has big money that rolls out of China. I think he is the third wealthiest when it comes to dollars that have derived from or come from Chinese interest.
Yes.
He's right on the – and he's supposed to be in our camp.
Dozens upon dozens of political leaders that are in the pocket as pawns from China. So we've already been sold out. Greg, we've got about 45 seconds on the broadcast. The question that's asked for this broadcast today, how should we then live? What is your recommendation, biblically speaking, for everyone listening to the sound of my voice today? How should we then live, Greg?
We have a government that God has blessed us with, the system that God has blessed us with. And just as Paul stood for his rights as a Roman citizen, stand for your rights and realize there's an old quote that says, when government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. We need to realize there can be liberty if we'll only stand for the good government that we've been blessed with.
Yes, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.